So my advice is just start a question I asked and a question I answered today.
Hey there, billionaire. Yep, I'm talking to you. If you expect to live another 31 years, you're already a billionaire. Not in money, but in the real measure of wealth. Time. That's because 31 years is roughly a billion seconds. But most of us waste time in ways we'd never waste money. The currency of time billionaires is micro moments. The 90-second to 15-minute gaps hidden between the structured parts of your day. This podcast is about reclaiming them with quick, research-backed ideas to help you feel more creative, productive, and alive. Welcome to Time Billionaires. Let's make your next micro moment count. This is a two-part episode. If you want to check out the first part, listen to the previous episode of Time Billionaires.
100%. And all the research I've read really supports that the more we can think of using social media tools similarly to how we would connect socially in real life, the happier we'll be. And I think that's part of the mental block. That's the end of my research summary. This is the start of my anecdotal opinion, is the generation right below me, I think us, they're digital natives. I very much remember learning to use a computer, learning to use a mouse, learning to type, and didn't get a smartphone until I was almost out of college. So the disconnect for digital natives, online and offline, is very much part of the same reality, which is why I think they show up so much more human. They truly do feel more of, and more anxiety, more connected with them. They show up as they are, who they are, not really filtering. And that's why I think we see corporate social media managers who tend to treat those interactions so much more humanly grow audiences, because it does feel real. They're having silly debates about socks, et cetera. And that feels human and that feels real. It doesn't feel polished. Millennials and up, I think I definitely had this, like, how do I curate and show up and present this like paper worthy, edited version that is both daunting and not the way of building real connection, to your point. And you do a really interesting job in my mind of blending a lot of what you do, your hobbies. Like, I knew you were a baker. You're writing, you're speaking, you're leading teams, you're even teaching at Stanford Extension School. And so you have a lot of these cool creative side projects, and you share a lot of that on LinkedIn. Now we get to be exposed to lots of different fine realities. I have a friend from college who worked for the federal government for 12 years and then got laid off the beginning of last year with this new administration. And she was devastated because she had never heard of people getting laid off before. And to me, she posted on LinkedIn. I called her. She was like, "Oh, it's so great to hear from you." I'm like, so embarrassed. I was like, "Layoffs happen all the time. What are you talking about?" Because in tech, companies restructure, priorities change. It doesn't mean that somebody who was a brilliant illustrator on a product who doesn't need them anymore isn't talented. And so just that culturalness of what's embarrassing, what's acceptable. I think the beauty of sharing more is that we have more access with people outside of our immediate sphere. And as we're looking at what makes us happy or fulfilled, you only work alongside people in your same industry. You only socialize in person with people in your same city, which is just imbued with cultural expectations and norms that are not inherently better or worse. They're just what you have. And so that's the beauty of sharing. And I think the paradox really of your point, the internet is forever. And so the principles of the person you want to be, the posts you want to make matter. But it's also kind of ephemeral. So any given post doesn't have to be the most brilliant insight you've ever shared in your life. And if it doesn't land, or people don't get it, or people don't engage with it, it doesn't mean you're a bad creator, thinker, etc. And so I think that's the balance of just deciding the principles, to your point, of your personal brand that you're willing to share within, and then not overthinking, at least for me, is this good enough to post? Because a lot of the things like, oh, this is stupid. Like, nobody cares what I'm reading. People love knowing what I'm reading, and they like reading those books and how we talk about those books. And so that balance of accepting that, as long as you're authentic and not negative or violating your own core principles, is probably worth sharing, and you can build a connection around it.
The other thing too, it's called like the curse of knowledge or the expert's conundrum, where it's basically because you're so fluent in something or you're so skilled in a certain area, to you, it's too basic or it's not interesting, right? But to somebody else who's maybe less fluent in that skill set or not well-versed in that knowledge space, you saying it is like, this is a huge light bulb, right? And I think, at the top of the recording, you commented that I unlocked your thinking about what it means to create content and that comments count. And I put this on a lot of my posts. I actually repurpose a lot of my comments into content. And so if I have done that, I'll put in like a little parenthetical. It's like, P.S. this post was, you know, expanded or based on or whatever, on my comments on whoever's post. And then I'll literally put in comments equals content. And that to me, like, that's just what I do. Like, I don't think that's super interesting, but I've had multiple situations where I've said that or shared that. And people are like, wait, you turn your comments into posts? And I'm like, what? Yes, of course. Like, why wouldn't you do that? You know, whatever. And people, and like, it's just never occurred to them that they could turn a comment into a post, right? And there's other things where I've tuned into something or I've, you know, downloaded someone's playbook and I'm reading through and I'm like, you're telling me that you can just, you know, and to them, they're like, oh yeah, step one, just, and to them, it's this throwaway step. And for me, I'm like, hold on a minute. I have never heard of this, right? So I think that's the other thing in terms of like good or worth posting. And the algorithm, man, I mean, I struggle with this too, but like the reach or the engagement on a post is not necessarily a reflection on the idea at its core. Now, if you post several things in this vein, it might mean that your audience doesn't care about this idea or you're not articulating it. Like there might be something wrong with the idea or the articulation, but a single post flopping, like that does not mean that you're bad. Like that's, or the idea is stupid or whatever it is.
100%. No, there's two things about that really stick out to me. One, I am a marketer. That, whoa, what comments are posts to me even, right? Like I do this and I forgot about that. And I think that especially non-marketers forget that just because you commented once, posted once, it doesn't mean you said it and you can't rehash it. Repurposing the great content is great. And so I struggle with that. I'm like, oh, I already said that. That's just going to sound unoriginal. I know it takes 7 to 10 plus touch points to remember something. I freaking know that. You have commented on posts that I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to mention it in this podcast because she already knows that. Like, I know this. And just the reminder is helpful because I think it's Wes Cow who says there's a difference between common knowledge and common practice. And like, you can know something and not do it, and you can do something and not do it well. And so that reminder is a really helpful loop. I think something I got stuck in too with the, and you do a brilliant job very seamlessly with this, is giving credit to the idea. I was like, oh, but I comment on that because it was somebody else's idea and I don't want to steal their idea. And you don't have to do that. I'm the same thing with my writing. I'm writing a book right now and my husband read an early draft and I was so obsessed with giving credit to the origin of ideas that he was like, this reads like a book report. Like, yeah, cool. You did a bunch of research. Like, what? This reads like a book report. And I think just being confident that, to your point, someone may have said something similar. You could have gotten the inspiration from somebody, but nobody said it like you before, means it's still worth posting. And we get so caught up in our heads of, well, people think I'm stealing their idea or it's unoriginal or they already heard it. And truly none of that matters. We can have similar conversations with our spouses and friends about similar topics. And that doesn't mean it's not interesting. And it's worth repeating, to your point.
Yeah. Well, and I think this goes back to your point about relatability. Like the human experience is universal. We are all human. We're all going through things, right? We've all had good days, bad days. We've all had wins. We've all had setbacks, right? Like it is highly unlikely just because you haven't experienced the exact same challenge that someone else has experienced or the exact same victory that someone else has experienced, the universal feelings of joy or frustration or anger or contentment, right? Like that's why we have words for the emotions that we all feel, because they're universal.
I think that's a through line, right? The more you share your ideas and perspectives, the bigger the impact it can have. We had a podcast guest who talked about trying to be grateful for the smallest thing that he's never thought to be grateful for every day. And the day we talked, it was salt, being grateful for salt. And that sparked for me that salt was currency for a while. Being worth your salt was a measure of being able to preserve things, food, flavor, et cetera. And the word salary, I'm pretty sure, has the same root. Just the sharing these little things that to him were barely worth mentioning sparked for me a big compounding set of gratitude and connection from there. So if someone really just has a little bit of time to think about building this connection, if they want to use social media or online, is there one final thought you want to leave them with for how to do that?
I think my final thought is, and I know this is slightly controversial advice, but the like, just start. And I'm like, a lot of people are so afraid of putting themselves out there in any way that they're not willing to just start, because what if it's cringe, or what if it flops, or what if I look stupid? So very tactical two prompts to give: a question I asked today and a question I answered today. Pick one of those. And it could be literally anything, right? And you can take this in any direction. So a question I answered today: my, you know, spouse asked me what we're having for dinner, and that, you know, and I said, we're having spaghetti. Here's how I think about eating healthy meals while I'm juggling a full-time job and lots of hobbies, right? Like, and you can go on a whole time management conversation about that, which would be more relevant in your case, for time billionaires. You know, a question I answered today: my colleague asked me this question. Great. What was the answer, right? How did you find the information? Why are you the person that they asked that question to? Do you get this question a lot? Do you think it's the wrong question, right? There's so many ways that you could take each of those prompts. So my advice is just start. And if you're a little scared on how to do that, use the prompts: a question I asked and a question I answered today.
Thanks for spending this micro moment with me. If you found it valuable, share it with a fellow time billionaire and give us a rating to help others discover the power of micro moments. For more ways to reclaim your time, check out timebillionaires.org and follow me, Rebecca Shaddix, on LinkedIn. See you next time.